Chapter 67. Infallibly demand 18 pence over and above his agreement. This desperate threat effectually broke up the party. After a most pathetic leave-taking, Mr. Lillivick and his bride departed for a ride, where they were to spend the next 2 days in profound retirement, and whither they were accompanied by the infant, who had been appointed traveling bridesmaid on Mr. Lillivick's express stipulation. As the steamboat people, deceived by her size, would, he had previously ascertained, transport her at half price. As there was no performance that night, Mr. Crummles declared his intention of keeping it up till everything to drink was disposed of. But Nicholas, having to play Romeo for the first time on the ensuing evening, contrived to slip away in the midst of a temporary confusion, occasioned by the unexpected development of strong symptoms of inebriety in the conduct of Mrs. Crudden. To this act of desertion he was led, not only by his own inclinations, but by his anxiety on account of Smike, who, having to sustain the character of the apothecary, had been as yet wholly unable to get any more of the part into his head than the general idea that he was very hungry, which perhaps from old recollections he had acquired with great aptitude. "I don't know what's to be done, Smike," apostrophe said Nicholas, laying down the book. "I am afraid you can't learn it, my poor fellow." Apostrophe, "I am afraid not," apostrophe said Smike, shaking his head. "I think if you, but that would give you so much trouble." Apostrophe, "What?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Nicholas. "Never mind me." Apostrophe, "I think," apostrophe said Smike, "if you were to keep saying it to me in little bits, over and over again, I should be able to recollect it from hearing you." Apostrophe, "Do you think so?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Nicholas. "Well said. Let us see who tires first." "Not I, Smike, trust me." "Now then. Who calls so loud? Who calls so loud?" Apostrophe said Smike. "Who calls so loud?" Apostrophe repeated Nicholas. "Who calls so loud?" Apostrophe cried Smike. Thus they continued to ask each other who called so loud, over and over again, and when Smike had that by heart, Nicholas went to another sentence, and then to two at a time, and then to three, and so on, until at midnight poor Smike found to his unspeakable joy that he really began to remember something about the text. Early in the morning they went to it again, and Smike, rendered more confident by the progress he had already made, got on faster, and with better heart. As soon as he began to acquire the words pretty freely, Nicholas showed him how he must come in with both hands spread out upon his stomach, and how he must occasionally rub it, in compliance with the established form by which people on the stage always denote that they want something to eat. After the morning's rehearsal they went to work again, nor did they stop, except for a hasty dinner, until it was time to repair to the theater at night. Never had master a more anxious, humble, docile pupil. Never had pupil a more patient, unwearying, considerate, kind-hearted master. As soon as they were dressed, and at every interval, when he was not upon the stage, Nicholas renewed his instructions. They prospered well. The Romeo was received with hearty plaudits and unbounded favor, and Smike was pronounced unanimously, alike by audience and actors, the very prince and prodigy of apothecaries. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.